001, Tuesday night, the third shiur in Hilchos Shmita, guest lecturer, Mr. Saul Glasser, who will now have the floor.
You want to stand, sit?
Okay, just
one caveat, I think the word is. There's going to be two caveats, but it's not necessary, so one caveat. With all due respect, the glass is not a posek, and therefore realize that when you're listening to him tonight. If I do not object to what he's saying, it does not mean that he's correct. Right? But again, he's extremely knowledgeable, Baruch Hashem, but not a posek.
Correct.
Not yet.
Big expectations. All right. Good evening, everybody. And thank you for allowing me to come and speak in the Kahal tonight. I thought I'd there's a lovely hakdama. And by the way, this is a great little chuveret, right? You can get it from Machon HaTorah V'Haaretz, and a lot of what I'm going to say tonight is based on this. And there's a lovely hakdama that's written.
If you have the Sefer Ketiv
Shavuos, it's incorporated inside. Yeah. So, let's begin. I'll just read through the Hakdamah that Rab Ariel writes, and it's great. It's really inspiring. So here we go. It's one page. Ha'isuk benoya shel Eretz Yisrael mitzvahu mishum yishuv Eretz Yisrael. This is already elevated to a level of a mitzvah. Shonehu ha'isuk benoya be'Eretz Yisrael me'avoda hanoi ba'atzot acherot. So it's different in Eretz Yisrael to be a gardener than to be a gardener in any other country. B'chol eretz ba'olam, en hanoi ela tzorech. Gardening anywhere else is a necessity. La'archiv da'ato shel adam, la'anoto b'mar'ot nechmadim v'meshuvei nefesh, to see interesting sights and broaden your horizons. That's good. Be'eretz Yisrael l'umat zot, etzem ha'isuk b'noya shel ha'aretz, ha'mevi etchen ha'makom v'chibato al yoshvav erechu. So the fact that you're gardening in Eretz Yisrael, so that's a separate and a special value. And if anybody's gardened themselves and you just plant something and then you come back a few weeks later and you see it didn't die and in fact it did well and it thrived, there's something very special to that. And in Eretz Yisrael, how much more so? V'chol ha'mosif lahader b'mitzvat yishuv Eretz Yisrael al yedei tosefet noy harei ze meshubach. So we're all doing the right thing. Mishum kach, and then he says, mishum kach nidreset hafsaka shel hashana. Because we're so excited by this action of looking after the land, we should take a break. Why the break? Shnat menuchan la'adam v'la'adama mafgisha et kol mi shedorech al ha'adama im Yeshua bin Nun b'knisato la'aretz. There's a connection. When you take that break, you join Yeshua. What happened when Yeshua came inside? Kasher malach Hashem omer lo, the malach says to him, sh'al na'alecha me'al nagrecha ki ha'makom asher ata omed alav kadosh hu. This place is a holy place. And that brings the connection. I'll be more knowledgeable next year when you ask me, so how was the rest for a year? Then we'll be wiser. But in a time we look forward to it. So he says, "Ve'im kol ze ein perusha shel hashvita lachazir et haolam letov vavohu." He said, "You don't want to make a whole balagan and let everything return to a desolate state. Hashvita mimelachot mesuyamot michad gisa va'yedi'a shekol melacha acheret tluya b'sheila hilchatit va'doreshet birur meidach gisa." So there's a shvita from the melachot. On the other hand, there's a halachic aspect to this whole idea of shmita. But what b'miyuchad midei yom b'yomo et ha'todaa hazot etzel haganan ve'etzel baal habayit ke'echad. That every day you focus on this. That this year of shmita is in fact a bit of introspection the whole day. That we're surrounded by the teva, we're surrounded by the noi, but we see there is in fact some kind of a difference. Something is different this year. V'kdushasho shel admat Eretz Yisrael chaya bil vavot, that we are connected to the place. So I think that's a lovely place to start. And now we'll get straight to it. What I hope to do is just cover the main aspects of the garden, and then at the end we'll open up the floor and take a lot of questions. So that way we'll get through what I planned, and we'll have time for questions afterwards. Okay. The first thing is to have the same standard of gardening all the time. There are certain things that are permissible in Shmita, but one should keep their standard of gardening consistent throughout the years. I.e., you can't decide, oh, it's Shmita, this is the year that we're going to bring my garden up to scratch. If you didn't do certain things beforehand, it wouldn't be correct to start looking after the garden on a higher level all year round.
Mr. Glasser means even if it technically would be mutter to do under normal circumstances,
you shouldn't.
But Shemitah is not the year that you start raising the level of your God, even if it's technically mutter.
That's right. Okay. So, let's start with pruning. So in Shemitah per se, there should be no pruning. No pruning should be done in Shemitah. Pruning is a very important part of looking after the garden. Let me go back a step. What we're trying to do in Shemitah is to minimize the malachot, but at the same time not damage the gardens. So by preparing beforehand, we'll prevent a lot of problems during Shemitah itself. So back to pruning. We should prune in the shishit. If Shemitah is not permissible to prune, therefore get our pruning done. Now in terms of pruning, different plants have different pruning requirements. So let's start with trees. And here again, we're going to break it down into categories. We've got the trees that are deciduous, those trees that lose their leaves. That's all our fruit trees, peaches, nectarines, plums. We've got certain trees like Klila Choresh, Atababuya, Bolasantis. These trees that lose their leaves, and they lose their leaves in the winter. We should have already by now pruned these trees. So February would have been the time that all our deciduous trees have been pruned. If you haven't done so, do so now before Shemitah, because next year, for sure, you won't be able to prune them in the winter. That's for deciduous trees. Now we've also got trees that depends on the weather, whether they lose their leaves or not. There's a category, this is a sisam, the mechnafnae, that's those, that big tree. Anyway, you'll see trees, they don't exactly lose their leaves, but they sort of lose their leaves. So now is a good time, again, beginning of spring would be a time to prune these. Again, if you haven't yet done so, do so now. In terms of your evergreens, we prune them throughout the summer. So that's all the ficusim. If anybody has one, I'm sorry to hear that. But you should nonetheless prune them. And just on a purely gardening note, if you have a ficus, it's a problem root. By the way, a fig tree is a ficus as well. Problematic tree in terms of the aggressiveness of the root. There is a relationship between the size of the tree above the ground and what's happening below the ground. Normally it's 1-to-1. With a ficus, it's about 1-to-10. It's like ridiculous. So if you do manage to keep your ficus small, then you're better off doing that. That's an aside note. Otherwise, you will have long-term problems. But I know a good plumber, so that's not okay. That's for evergreens. In terms of conifers, all your brochim, your whatever's a conifer tree, also evergreens, prune them in the autumn. That'll be the time to do that. If we follow this, we should arrive at Shemitah in good condition. Even though we have pruned in the right time, throughout the summer you can continue to prune. There's little touches here and there. You'll see new shoots have sprung closer to the branches. So cut away all that, because next year you won't be able to do so. What's important in the trees, we'll look at it later, is to shape the trees correctly. Again, a bit of a gardening put into the Shemitah. The tree should have a good bone structure. By that we mean the main trunk and two or three or four main stems. And off those stems should come the rest of the tree. Often you see trees are all full inside. If you drive around on Dolev, you'll see the trees are all full inside. You should try to not prune like that. Open them up a bit so that the air flow. Again, why do we do this? For a number of reasons. One is to get the air to flow through the trees. If the air flows to the tree's healthier, the tree's stronger, it will be less breaking. And if there's less branches in the trees, in terms of fruit trees, the light comes in and you'll get a bigger yield of fruit as well. So you want light to come in, you want air to flow, and that's why we want to prune. And if there are too many branches, the tree breaks as well, and you want to obviously prevent that. That's on pruning. In terms of young trees, now young trees, again, I'm not a posek, and one should ask, but I've seen it brought down that a young tree, you could even prune on Shemitah in the case where there would be irreversible damage done to the tree. Why dafka a young tree? It's the same as children. If you bring them up properly when they're young, when they're older, you'll have much nachas. If you miss those important years, then you'll have problems in later years.
Maybe so, not a kiwi tree. A kiwi tree might be dioraiso. And when you're talking about damage, only malachos derabbanan are mutter. And it's most boys can say only a vine, a vineyard is mid the arise of the pruning, but because of the type of thing that happens in a vine, which makes it deoraisa, and it's not the same type of thing that happens in a regular tree that you right. prune, but it's been suggested that a kiwi is like a vine and might be deoraisa. Okay.
We're talking about shaping the tree at a young stage, because if you don't direct it, you'll miss on that opportunity and it will start to grow in different directions. But again, this is quite an aside, but that's a young tree. Now, in terms of bush,
what's considered young?
Young is like a two-year-old tree when they start at this height, you know, because you want to get your tree to have a central trunk. It's like if you knock a nail. Here's a question for the audience: if you knock a nail into the tree at 2 meters, and you come back 4 years later, and the tree grows half a meter every year, where will that nail be?
2 meters.
2 meters. Very good. Okay, it's like electric train in the smoke. So the tree doesn't move. It stays in the same place. It just grows upwards. That's why it's important to shape it from the beginning and give the direction that we want to get.
So you're saying that something besides a young tree, if let's say it's becoming such that it's going to cause damage to the tree,
fix it up now.
You said it could break or it could suffocate the tree.
So now you've got time to attend to that. If you're in Shmita, we'll come to it later on in terms of if something's going to be a sakana. Okay? That's something.
You're saying with enough foresight, except for a young tree, there really will not be a reason to prune during Shemitah.
100% correct.
There's one other just question about pruning. So I have a passiflora pruning. So now it's going to be like a kiwi, and it's a passion fruit. So those go seem to, I know that I've had a pruning a lot.
Passion fruit also, some say, is the arisa.
If you don't do anything for years, then it's probably going to cover my whole house. Yeah, but you won't be able to prune it. Yeah. In terms of bushes now, most bushes can go a whole year, no real damage will be done, and you don't have to prune. If I don't mention, I'll mention it now because it's in my mind. If you're preserving an existing shape of a bush, then again, Rav Milind, correct me if I'm incorrect, but I've seen that it's mutar to preserve an existing shape. I.e. you have a hedge of hadassim or a moran or something, and you want it to reach, you know, this height over here, and it's already at this height, and you've been pruning it for a couple of years now at this height. You can continue to do so during Shemitah. Some plants are into a round shape, you can continue to do so.
Ask a shayla.
That's what I've seen correctly. I will afterwards. Now, roses as well are a category on their own, but roses will survive a whole year if you don't prune them. So they may not look their best, but you don't need to be pruning your roses during Shemitah. Now, roses also, we'll discuss them a little bit more at length later on, but Kikaren, if you don't prune them, they should be beset.
Are roses for the smell or roses are for niceness?
Both. And there is a difference.
So have you learned that if something's for its niceness, if it'll look significantly less nice, then it's mutter?
Yes, and also with the smell, there's the Indian of Kedushat Shvi'it that you can't just dispose of it that simply.
Yeah, no, but I'm talking. You mentioned that there's no reason to prune roses during Shemitah because it's not going to really. It might look not so nice, but after a certain point of not nice, then you could prune.
The problem of pruning. All right, let's deal with roses now then. The problem with pruning roses is it's like a vine. The more you cut the rose, the more flowers you get. That's why your rose is either the prettiest bush in your garden or the ugliest. It's mamash, what you put into your rose bush is what you'll get out of your rose bush. Now, again, a gardening point, your roses, I see a lot of them in the shade. A rose wants 8 hours of sun a day. So if you have a rose in the shade, move it to the sun, you'll get good results. Another thing about a rose, and we'll discuss this in watering, a rose is sensitive to a lack of water. So your roses shouldn't be starved of water. Again, from what I'm understanding as I'm going into the Shemitah, is that we want to prevent damage being done. We don't want the plants to thrive. Sometimes you come to a garden, you see they've given excess fertilizer and excess water, and you see this little plant that normally is something like this. Pitom, they've got like a giant thing growing there. So that's really something we want to prevent very much in Shemitah. But at the same time, something that should look good or beseder shouldn't look misken because it's Shemitah. The things should be looked after as they are. And what we want to prevent is problems. Because There's no inyan of causing something to suffer or die or get sick. We'll end up, you know, going further down the line. We want to prevent all of that. And that's what we're trying to do now before Shemitah.
So you would say it is okay, or you should prune? Obviously, Shai, that's Chacham involved. In terms of a rose, you would say you should try to prune?
You can cut your rose. Again, what I said before, if you continue, Rav Ariel told a nice story. I went to a Yom Iyun with him. So he said there's a fella that every Friday he cuts roses to bring into the house. He says, what, you're going to tell him on Shemitah not to cut the roses? He says, there's so much involved over this. You could say, oh, he's cutting the rose, and by cutting the rose, that makes the tree flourish. And the more you cut, the more flowers you get. So it's for Tzimuach and Shippur, and that means Astam Shemitah we're not allowed to do. He said, but there's so much more going on over here. There's the rose that he does all the time for as long as since he's had the rose, he's been cutting it. There's his wife who enjoys getting the flowers from her husband. There's Onek Shabbat. There's so much going on. He says, lo yitachen that you can't plant, that you can't continue to cut the roses. However, with a shinui, yes.
That's not, the point is that Dov Hashem Muskaven is Mutter and Shemitah. The point isn't so much that, because you always do it. The point is because then it's Dov Hashem Muskaven, because your kavana is to have flowers and
Shabbat. Right. I said that. Okay. Right. And you'd still do it differently. So on if regularly you cut, you know, cut with some kind of a shinui when you prune your roses, and also cut them lower.
And the reason the shinui is necessary is because when something directly stimulates growth, then you might be getting into a deoraisa problem. So that's why you want to make sure it's the rabbana, so you're going to do it in a markedly different way.
Thanks. Okay. Now, let's go back to trees. We digressed a bit from roses. In terms of trees, trees that need to be supported, if they're leaning over, if you want them to grow in a certain direction, all of that should also be done before Shemitah. In terms of if a tree poses some kind of a danger, if it's near electrical cables or it falls over onto a pathway or a car, so obviously that can be taken care of during Shemitah. But if you see you're going to have a problem, be proactive and prevent that before Shemitah. Okay, that's in terms of pruning. Moving on to a new category, fertilizing. Fertilizing you should do before Shemitah. Now, us living in Beit Shemesh, it depends also on the type of ground and soil that you have. We're fortunate in some ways to have heavy soil over here. If you've got like light soil, then that's Adama Lomakomit, it's earth that's been brought in from somewhere else. And it's a pleasure for the gardener to work in it because it's easy, but it's not so fertile and it doesn't hold water fertilizer. But the Adama Mekomit, which most of the gardens here in Beit Shemesh have, is quite fertile. And if you fertilize before Shemitah, that should see you through the whole year round. So, again, the time to do that now, well, we've just finished fertilizing for spring, and then we'll fertilize again in autumn. Just to give you a little bit of tachlis information. So, you'll put down in the autumn Zarchan, which is P, which is a phosphate, and it's called a superphosphate. In English, that would be superphosphate, right?
What's autumn this year?
Autumn this year is before Shemitah.
Yeah.
It's
ready to be autumn.
It'll be a little bit early, but it's going to be our autumn. Our autumn fertilizer that we do closer to the winter, we'll do in Elul, this year round. Okay? So we put down superphosphates, and for those that are going to, 50 grams per meter. That's your calculation. And that should strengthen the roots, strengthen the flowers. Afterwards, you'll also put down ashlagan, which is K, that's potassium, 30 grams per meter. And, that's ashlagan. It's called ashlagan chlori, is the commercial name. And in our heavy soils, we can put down as well, and the ashlagan is good for the winter. That gives the plant strength. It's like a vitamin C in the winter. Makes the cells of the plant stronger, strengthens the roots. Ashlagan is good. And chankan is nitrogen. Chankan is the last one. And that helps the plant grow. There, just a little bit. 20 grams per meter. That's grams. These are small amounts. You don't need a lot. If you put too much, I've seen many Jewish women kill plants. It's like, what do? They just overfeed them. They can't help themselves. Why does plant die? Too much, just too much. So the fertilizers are strong. You don't need to give... This is like a lot. If you give a little bit less, not much. If you're in doubt, give less. If you give too much, it will burn. The other thing, when fertilizing, I'll get myself into trouble, but I said you should first water, then give the fertilizer, then water again. Because if you straight away fertilize and you don't give water, fertilizer salts, it burns the plants. What I do, most gardeners probably do, is we fertilize and water, because we don't have the luxury of fertilizing, of watering first, coming and giving water a second time afterwards. It just doesn't always work out practically. Right, but anyway, having said that, so try and get your fertilizer done before, and you'll be the setter with that.
Was this for grass or for the
next? For everybody. Okay? There's different requirements. Ask me after that. There's specifics for grass, for flowers, for trees, what to do.
These are three separate applications, isn't that?
You can use the Shanim Meshulavim. You can use combined fertilizers. Also, on the point of fertilizer, I'd recommend get something that's slow release. There are fertilizers today that break down over 6 months, over 9 months. If you put it down now, it will break down slowly, and the plant will absorb it as it needs it during the year. Would that be correct?
Slow release is telling that machlokes we talked about last week. My understanding is that we may kill, but perhaps you should ask the Shaila Allah Lamaisa what to do. Slow release means it's happening during Shemitah, but you're not involved. So we'll be telling the machlokes Chazanish, Shlomo Zalman, and therefore, I guess, Lamaisa ask the Shaila to get a final upside. My understanding is that the consensus is that it's mutter. But yes,
for sure,
because I'm not really sure about that.
Okay. Now, weeding before Shmita. If you can clear the areas beforehand, that would be much better. Again, we're still in all the preparation. If you haven't planted a garden or you've got a shetach in your garden that isn't, and the weeds will come up, as soon as the rain comes, the weeds will sprout. There's a gardening saying, 1 year's weeds is 7 years' seeds. So if you can get rid of the weeds now, and you're going to Shemitah with a clean area, then you're much better off, and that will again prevent a lot of problems you may have at a later stage. So we'll talk about weeding later on, but at this stage, let's just say clean out all those areas of weeds, have it cleaned away, and then there's a couple of things that you can do to prevent the weeds from coming. Okay. Now, in terms of looking after your moving on to lawn, in terms of looking after lawn. Before Shmita, we're talking about. So there are a lot of actions that need to be done to the lawn that are not permissible during Shmita. Firstly, thinning out the lawn. If your lawn is very thick and it's got thatch and it's hard and heavy, you can actually thin out the lawn. And that there's a machine that cuts up the lawn and thins it out, basically. And that you couldn't do during Shmita. Aerating the lawn is making holes in the lawn. If your kids run around while the sprinklers are on, mine do, but it's one of those shalom bite issues in the house, you know, so let the kids run around on the lawn, but if the lawn gets stamped down and it's hard, you should aerate the lawn, but do so also. You can't do it during Shmita, you got to do it before. If you want to put a top dressing on your lawn, got to do that also before. We spoke about fertilizing the lawn. If you need to, if you've got bald spots in your lawn, you know, like if your kids play football, where the goals are, is normally, or if you have a slide underneath, so you want to put a new piece of lawn down there, all that should be done before Shmita. And then we'll discuss the lawn again, what we can do actually during Shmita. Okay. I'm just running through it briefly, but if there are questions specific, then we'll go into it. All right, in terms of watering one's garden. So now, by using a computer, we solve a lot of issues. So I would suggest, if you don't have a computer, besides for the Shmita reason, which is sufficient in itself, but also, if you get a computer, you'll water correctly, you'll water less water, and I would say, in the long term, the computer will pay for itself. So if you don't have a machshev, put it on. There are a lot of people that tell me, oh, you won't believe, I forgot to turn off the water, right? And it goes, you just need to do that one or two times, and you've paid for your computer. So get a computer to water properly, and you'll do that. Now, how much is enough? And this is a complicated question that I'm not going to answer, you know, this is the nuscha, water so much. Because there are tables that exist, and Misrad HaKlaot, they've done studies, and they know what is the required amount for a tree, for a bush, for lawn, for that same tree, bush, lawn, if it's in Yerushalayim, if it's in Beit Shemesh, if it's in the Big A. So depending on where the trees and the plants are growing, their watering requirements are different. There's a station right here in Sora where they've been measuring for, I don't know how many, but a long time, and they've got factors, and they tell them exactly what, how much water we lose per day. In the summer now, we're losing something like 8 millimeters a day. So you have to replenish that. So there's a calculation for trees, for lawn, for bushes, for flowers, how much to do. Now, in big parks, when they plan a big park, there's separate lines for everything. While I'm giving you this information, soon you'll see. So there's a line, a drip line, that only gives water to the trees. And obviously the lawn gets its own, or only the flowers get, and only the roses get, only the bushes get. When you have a big park, you're able to actually calculate and work out exactly what you have to, what is correct for the plants to get. When we're in a garden, we have to take a lot of factors into account. For example, lawn, you could in theory water once in 2 weeks. You could give your lawn once in 2 weeks. You'd water for 8 hours, but that would be correct. And you'd be giving that amount of water. And your lawn would be healthy and all would be well. But on lawns in our little houses where we're growing, it's not much to say, right, we'll water once in 2 weeks. So if you can summarize all of this information, that may not help, is each garden to itself you'll have to assess. And you'll see if your garden's looking too dry or not. But by this stage, you should have a pretty good idea of what you're watering. Again, if we look at the garden and the plants and the trees, and I'll forward whoever wants the tables and they can do the calculations themselves, then you should give your plants enough water so that they don't suffer. The plants certainly, like I said, don't need to thrive. They don't need to be bigger than usual, than what you'd expect to see. But there's no reason that they should suffer in any way. Because once you start that, even like a rose, I was saying, if a rose doesn't get water, it starts to suffer. A rose can live for 500 years. Without water, won't be good.
If you have a normal amount of water that's going in your garden now, and your garden's fine, should you keep that, or should you lessen it a little bit, because you can assume that your garden can afford a little bit less water and still...
That's my understanding. I would say it's doing fine now. So with Shmita, just be sensitive to that. We'll put a little bit less. If I'm giving 30 minutes, I'll give 25 minutes. Right? It'll be fine, I'm sure.
My understanding of that was a machlokes of today's poskim, whether you have to try to minimize in this way.
Right.
It's sort of Rav Yashiv machmir, and others are
machmir. Machmir needs to go from 30 to 25.
That's what I saw. He's machmir. And the other poskim today, with Lissim and others, say
that's
not necessary.
Yeah. I spoke to the guys today in Machon HaTorah V'Aretz, and they definitely said you don't have to, that you can stay. If you watered at 30, and that's correct. What they did say is if you're watering too much, and you know you're watering too much, you should be makpid not to water too much. So that's the inner. So
after a certain point, doesn't, ironically, if you're doing too much, then it's not doing anything for the plants.
You're causing problems, yes.
Right, so then it should be mutter.
Yes. So,
I suspect that at least 9 out of 10 people who have computers have no idea how to program them. What do those 9 people do? They don't want to get on your phone number or what?
Read the manual.
don't they have a chart there, by the way, for watering?
They've got luchot, they've got tables, but they're not detailed.
They don't understand the tables.
What's that?
For a regular person, you know what kind of dirt you have.
Okay, I'm going to explain to Arya how to use his computer, and everybody should phone him on how to work out their computers. There you go. Baseda, during Shmita you can phone me. Don't phone me before. Lots of times during Shmita will answer these questions. Baseda, so I said, the main thing is not to overwater, and that the plants shouldn't, the plants, they shouldn't suffer. Is that it? Okay. Now, so that's watering. Again, it's a big topic, the watering, but if we just understand it in principle, what we're trying to do over here, And again, specifically ask me each gina lefi atzma what we can water.
Watering, how are you watering? In other words, if you're watering with a hose or with bucket type things or with a watering system, there's no even Mary's eyes or anything like that?
Look, if you didn't water, the thing would die, and we don't want it to die. It would be better, like I said in the beginning, to water through some kind of a system where you're not that directly, that's what I've seen, that you're not that directly involved with the watering, and a computer puts it on and does.
You mean it's actually better if you have a computer and have the computer do it than you turning on the water?
From what I've seen, Ms. Tamer, the Rav can elaborate on that.
Then you gain those shittas, then it's usher for. Then you gain those shittas, you're doing it both, and that's totally mutter.
You mentioned before putting the fertilizer down before opening, slow release. Now, I have a system where the fertilizer is in the water.
So disconnect it during Shmita. I'm not a fan of that.
Yes.
You should disconnect.
Water, but you're talking about, but if you're watering directly.
He's got liquid fertilizer.
If you're watering directly.
It's watering.
It's a system.
It's a system. It goes
with the computer, or you're doing the action of watering?
No, the computer. The computer puts the fertilizer.
And the water is being watered because or else it'll die. And the fertilizer, though, is not necessary or else it'll die.
Uh-huh.
Can you just add the fertilizer to the water? That's your question. And in a case where you're not doing it on Shemitah, right? It's happening by itself, so to speak.
But you have to, but indirectly you are doing it, because every month you're refilling that canister. You've got a big drum, and you dilute the fertilizer into that drum. And there's a pipe that goes into the drum. When the computer turns the water on, the action of the flow of the water sucks a portion of that fertilizer into the main pipe, and that distributes it throughout the garden. That's how the system works.
But it's not partial. You could just add fertilizer to the water or not there.
I would say disconnect it anyway. You're not doing your garden a favor. You're stimulating the growth and things look good, but your plants are growing too quickly and they're not strong. So it looks good. But if we think of our gardens long term, that we want them to flourish and succeed, if they grow too quickly, they're not strong. They can't take the beatings that the soccer ball has to offer, even those without. But still, rather prepare the earth well. Give your fertilizer slow release twice a year. It's also much cheaper to do that. The same.
Quick question on water. If we happen to not know how much we water, I don't know if I do 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 3 hours.
Right.
So I have to start from now till that we'll start counting how much time I give.
See, the watering.
Yeah, this is about how much I
do.
See what you're doing. And the watering is not a function of time, it's a function of volume. If you're giving a tree, if you've got a mature citrus tree, needs 120 litres a week. A week a day? A week. 120 litres a week. Quite a bit of water. 120. Yeah, give that water, see what happens to your trees. Right, so that's what the tree's requirements are. Now, if you had 2 liters, you'd water for 60 hours. You know, if you had 10 liters, you'd do the math. If you've got drips, you've got 10 drips, and each one's giving 10 liters, you know, in 1.2 hours, you'll have given that 120. So it's not a function of time, it's a function of volume. If you want to see, turn everything off, like lawn wants 3 liters, 3.5 liters per day, per square meter. That's what your lawn wants. A cube of water costs 8 shekels. Your garden should cost you roughly a little bit less than 100 shekels a month to water. So, if you're watering correctly. That's why, when I found the guy today, I said, you know, takpid lo lebazbez mayim. So the irony is, you know, in Shemitah, everyone's careful not to waste the water. You should be careful all year round not to waste the water. But besedah, we'll use Shemitah to bring our watering into alignment. But, again, so getting back to the lawn, it's 4 liters per meter per day, and there's a nuscha. So maybe there'll be time we'll look at that formula. I said I want to move on to weeding now. So let's start off by saying that you shouldn't be weeding during Shemitah, and then let's see under which circumstances. And if I'm incorrect, then I'll be told so. that the way you can be reading. Okay? So, generally speaking, let's try not to do any reading during Shemitah. Having said that, if you've got, it poses a danger. You've got an area where the weeds, the lawn grows long. There could be snakes there. There could be things that could cause damage or danger. There's a sakana that's living in that grass, and maybe someone can throw a match. It's near the house. You don't know. If there's a danger, then you would be able to clear away those weeds. Now, by saying clear away, there are different levels of weeding. And we should try and stick to these levels of weeding when we're getting rid of it. So first, if we've cleared it beforehand, what we spoke of, we should try and keep it that way. And what we can do is there are materials today that prevent weeds from coming up. There's a material called GOL, G-O-L, and you dilute it with water. If you spray that on the ground, it forms a thin film on the ground. And when a new seed germinates, it touches that film, and it burns the two first leaves, and then it stops the germination process. So that's good for an area where you wouldn't be walking all the time. Because if you kept running there, the chomer would break down. There's also pellets. Ronstar is the name. And you sprinkle that out. And again, works on the same principle. It forms, when it gets wet, it forms a thin layer. And it prevents the weeds from coming up. So if you've got an area that you want to try and keep weed free, that would be your best and first step to go.
You're talking about before Shemitah now?
Before Shemitah, during Shemitah also.
You could put that down.
There's more you could do, I think. Right? You could cover everything with a tarp or with tuff or with some kind of organic material. You could just cover the ground completely, a black plastic. That'll also prevent your weeds from coming up. Right? Now you didn't do that and you do have weeds. So you could actually spray those weeds. You could spray them with something like Roundup. They're selective materials today. They'll kill your lawn, but not the flowers. Or they'll kill the flowers, but not the lawn. So if you've got broadleaf weeds in the grass, you could, in theory, spray those and not damage the grass. Am I correct?
You're talking in a case like with the snakes, the chadoma.
At this stage, yes. Yeah, but soon I'm going to move on to the next stage.
In a case where you're allowed a week.
Yes.
Oh, but just to prevent weeds from going there.
We will get there. That's the next case.
You're talking in a place when you're allowed a week.
Yes. Okay. Correct.
I thought you said that you're talking about now when to prevent it, you want to keep it maintained.
Yes.
Did you say that? Once it's already so much so that there's going to be snakes in it, then you have to actually go ahead and you can't just spray the stuff on it. You have to actually pull it out.
If you spray, don't wait for it to get this high and then spray it. When you see it this high, attend to it.
But I'm saying this high, is that a dangerous snake?
Yeah, Cholot, if it's thick and it's this high, a snake's that high. He's hiding in this high, he's hiding.
So you're allowed to take it out. I mean, you're basically saying, so when you see weeds there, you can...
Yeah, from what I understand, I'm not a prosec, but from what I understand, if it's an area that poses a danger, you can take it out. And there's levels of which to take it out. You shouldn't come straight away and start pulling them. You should try and do it on this basis, which is first to prevent, so things don't come. If they did come, right, if you didn't do that, you could cover it with a plastic. And that would also stop things from growing. If you didn't do that, right, you could after it has started sprouting, you'll see in the winter that the weeds will sprout, the seeds will come, there'll be weeds. Spray them when they're this high. Don't wait for them to get big. And the last option, you could cut it above the ground with like a chermesh, a weed whacker. You could do that. This is all where it poses some kind of a danger and you wanted to keep the area where you wanted to keep the area safe. Now, I'm going into the next stage where the weeds are in the plants. What can we do here? So, the premise here is that the weeds cause the plants to suffer. In what way do they do that? There's competition. The weeds... Everybody's competing for the same thing. Everybody wants sunlight, they all want water, and they all want nutrients. Some weeds are more aggressive, some are less, some plants are stronger. If you've got a little plant and big weeds, the weeds will take over, your plants won't thrive. And to an extent where some plants can be destroyed completely, they just die away, the weed will be too strong. So what can we do in such a case? This is my understanding. And in a few seconds, we'll find out if my understanding is correct or not. So, first thing, is you can spray. What do we mean by that? If there is grass that's lawn that's growing into the flower beds. Now, the plants, they simply won't survive. The lawn will close them in and they'll start to wither. So you can spray with a spray that will kill the lawn and not the plants. So you could spray that. And that would be your option. The same idea if you had weeds in the garden, in the lawn, and they were disturbing the lawn. Now you must know your weeds, because some weeds is nishkefenach, it won't do anything, right? The lawn will survive and it won't cause. But if you've got problematic weeds like a tayun davik or kayetzet, the kayetzet's the one that's flowering now, it's got like those little fairies on top. I don't know how they know this, they said every kayetzet plant has 500,000 seeds. Right? That's now you can understand why there's so many. But that's a problem type of a weed, you want to get rid of it before. So you could spray that with something that would kill the plant and not the lawn. Sure, good.
What are the materials that you can use? Selected.
They said so for lawn that would only kill lawn. There's something called Duganol, and you could use Duganol, and that kills lawn. Don't get it mixed up. That kills the lawn and not the broadleaves. And the opposite, the one that kills the broadleaves and not the lawn, would be something like tomahawk, is a good one. And again, you'll see the minun there is important. If it says 0.5%, don't say, you know, measure. Don't go, it's about half, yeah, a bit more. Right? Do the right minun. Otherwise, you'll see the results and you won't be happy. So the first, it's all right. So we said to spray. Your first spray would be again to prevent, is how you would spray. Your first spray, the same as in the case before, where we were talking about clearing the area. So first spray to prevent. Your second spray is the kotle maga, those that when they come into contact, the ganol and the tomahawk. That's your second level of spray. Your third level would be to cut it with a chermesh, but you can't go, you know, straight away to cut it with a chermesh. You must first do what you can on level 1 and level 2. If you see you haven't been successful and you've got a problem, then you'd go with a mechanical. And again, the idea here is to cut above the ground. Fourth level, you could take a weeding tool and actually cut just in the ground, like a centimeter or two in the ground, you'd cut it. You wouldn't yank the whole plant out by the roots. And fifth level would be to actually pull the plant out by the root. But yeah, you'd have to know that you're doing it because you're going to lose the plant over here, or there's going to be adverse effect to the garden over
this,
a long
this
term.
This digs into the ground?
This digs... you're using it. So in theory, you know, it digs a centimeter into the ground or just above the ground, depending how you want to use it.
If it digs into the ground, yes, we should, that might make it worse. Because then you might be mounting the ground for stream, and it might be like Harisha. So if you're going to dig into the ground, ask a shayla.
So get it above the ground. Still ask a shayla. Okay. And the last one, and this is my shayla, I've seen that you can actually pull the whole plant out by the weeds, and that seems strange. You'll pull it out completely. And when you do that, you're also making sure the karka, the whole earth turns, you pull it out.
So presumably, it would probably end up being the Harisha that's the Rabbana, called Idur, as opposed to Harisha. So again, if your purpose is to prevent the hefset of a plant, it would be more difficult.
Okay. Good to know.
Is Saul correct in terms of the stages? Try to do the stages 100%.
Excellently put, yeah.
Okay. Now let's go back to pruning. We spoke about that. So all our pruning, what we spoke about, should be done before. Exactly what we said. In terms of a young tree, the Rav also said, so again, we mentioned to do it with a shinui and to do it to prevent sustainable long-term damage. Now, where we can prune is for sanitary reasons. If we have a branch that's now broken, for whatever reason it broke, it will get in, it will start to dry out, and once it dries out, bugs will come to it, beetles will come to it, the rest of the tree will end up suffering. You want to cut a straight cut and take that away. If you've got a branch that's infected with something, So also, don't wait for the whole tree to become sick. You can take away the part that's sick, cut that and remove it, take it out of the garden. By the way, any time when you're gardening and you're pruning, don't leave the junk lying around. I know that's not the fun part. The fun part's to cut, but you must collect everything and dispose of it. You bring disease to your garden if you leave it lying around. And don't say you'll do it later, because you won't, right? Just do it there and then, be done with it. So, again, that prevents bugs, disease coming into the garden. Again, we mentioned that to prune and keep an existing shape, you can do that. You know that Ceylonian, the potato bush, the one that's blue with the yellow dot? So people like to have that round, or if you have a gader chayal of any sort.
To keep the shape, to say it's mutter.
Yes, I've seen. If it's fully grown and it's fully in shape. Because if you cut it and it wasn't in full shape, you'd be stimulating the growth, and that you can't do. But you must be certain and honest with yourself to say, you know, this is the heart I've always wanted. Not to say, well, I'm almost there. And I've seen it, it's brought down that even if you have a long gader chaya, a live hedge, and one plant, you know, the plants are like us, some are tall, some are thin, some grow faster, later. If you see two or three, you haven't quite reached that full level. But the rest have completely reached. Those two or three you can't cut. But the rest you can. Because by cutting those two or three, you're stimulating their growth. So that's that.
Is there a problem with thinking the new growth in weeding, like putting it through a fence, training it to go through a fence so you don't have to cut it?
What would be the purpose of putting it through?
So you don't have to cut it. For instance, it's passion fruit, which grows like an animal.
You should know.
What?
Or passion fruit too. look, anything that stimulates the growth, you wouldn't want to do. So by pushing it in, you understand, it seems okay. I think.
So
take it out of your garden now.
Mr. Blaser is free to go. If he wants to continue, he's also free to continue.
Yes, sir.
Will be Dominic Myron when he's finished. Will be Dominic Myron also when he's finished.
Is that it? Okay. Yeah, you can't cut your bougainvillea to. You can't cut your bougainvillea. If it's causing a problem and it's in front of the house and it's, you know, then you'd have to ask a shayla and see. But minastam, any cutting will cause, as soon as you cut somewhere, the bottom eyelets wake up and that stimulates growth, and that you can't do. You should ask a shayla on that. Nahon, that's why you can't prune, minastam, what should
you say? Some things you prune, you're just going to grow.
Because
you want to, and some things you're trying to, you have no choice.
You're cutting back.
And I'm cutting it back just to control it. Not so it's going to be full out of all.
I understand.
That would be enough to stop it.
I have a follow.
Okay, he's asking if you have a plant that's problematic, it grows too much, it's disturbing. You want to cut it. It's fully grown, Nahon. So it falls into that category of keeping an existing shape, which you could cut. Again, I'd still remove the bougainvillea. Okay. Beseder. Now here's another one. It's going to come Sukkot, and we're going to want tzchach, some of us. So if you want to cut, it's mutar to cut, but you should cut correctly.
For tzchach.
For tzchach. But you should cut correctly. What does that mean, correctly? That when you cut, you don't cause the tree to sprout new branches. Now that's, by the way, how you should cut anyway. But that means that if...
Well, I'll work this along. And
let me pray. I happen to have one of these handy. So if we're cutting, and we'd cut, let's say, I'll use this later on, so I'll touch it. If we just cut the branch over here, what's going to happen is that all these little eyes are going to wake up and we're going to cause new growth. But if we were to cut it all the way down here straight, then that's going to heal, it's going to seal up, and there won't be new growth from coming from that area. So when you're cutting your schach, be sure to cut as close as possible to the branch, to the trunk, and having done that, the tree will be grateful, and you'll also be in good shape for Shemitah.
The areas that cut, like their palm trees or whatever, to leave piles for people to take. So presumably they're cutting it so that it should grow back, and I'm cutting it to seal up.
Well, you cut it to keep the tree healthy also. You cut away the drier branches. So it's sanitation also. You assume that they'll cut correctly and cut... So this year at least everybody will cut correctly.
But you're saying it's anyway the correct way to cut, even though anyway.
Yes.
And if someone cuts incorrectly, is that a problem to use for staff? Is there some sort of mitzvah above
it? No, you took the part that was... It's the part that's left that's the problem. Not the part you took.
It's not a problem.
Yeah. Okay.
It is.
And again, when shaping your tree, if we assume this is the main tree, this is for yourselves to know. So you want that trunk to come up, right? So let's decide we want to be able to walk under the tree. This is a great looking branch, but it's too low. So we'd cut it over here. If it was very thick, you see the proportion is the same between the wounds. So what you could do is just cut it 1 year. This branch will now not get thick anymore. It will stay the same thickness, whereas the main branch will get thicker. And you'll come back a year later and you'll cut here. But it won't be such a big wound. It will be a smaller wound in proportion. And whenever you cut, put the ointments on your wounds. Any wound that's thicker than a pencil, there's ointments, tree ointments, different kinds. Any of them are good. Put it on the wound, and in that way you prevent the trees from drying out, from getting sick, from bugs entering inside. So that's a good tip anyway. And then by thinning out, if we take this as our example now, we see this tree, you know, we don't want it to go in this branch, it's too close. So again, take off the branch that you want. If here I decide I want it to start branching out, again, if I cut over here, then I've stimulated these two eyes and they'll start growing. So that's mamash al regalachat, a bit of an idea of to prune and to shape your trees. Yes. I've also seen that you can't burn them, but that you can cut them down. Yeah, but it's the tzorech of the hadas, the mitzvah of hadasim. I saw it as brought down as a separate thing. Hadasim, and you cut hadasim for on...
Yeah, you have to make sure you're not gross.
But you are. When you burn them down, they come back as a mishulash sometimes. The whole purpose you cut it was to get the new growth that would be the hadas.
I thought you meant when you're cutting hadas with the hands.
Mm-hmm. That's what I asked.
The second
part of the question
was, what did, I didn't understand
what you asked. That's what I asked. If you were cutting for your own use of purpose, but you were answering also.
For Araminim, you're saying?
Level them down for the next year. That's what you're talking about, my
brain. Yes.
That you can't do.
I've seen that you can, obviously. That you can cut it down before Sukkot, wait for it to grow up.
Why should that be what? Why?
Well, where will our dasim come from for next year, Shemitah?
It's not the. So you mean
I'm not asking.
Oh, you mean it's in effect the plant will be dead?
Or it won't have a lot, or.
For a lot, I don't know yet. There's a shayla. If it will produce any fruit, any branches, so that's saying it will be dead. It will be as good as dead. So then it would be winter. Because in effect, it's dead. It's just it used to flourish.
Yeah.
I don't know why it should be winter.
Right. Any difference if it's for a farmer or for a person also?
Maybe you could move to the center of the room.
Okay.
Whether the plant itself has kedusha shvius. What we're talking about today, there's no relevance if it has kedusha shvius or not. Abodas karka is also even to things that don't have kedusha shvius. That's a separate issue. Once you have your besamim, you have to treat it with kedusha shvius. What we're talking about today is a totally different opinion.
So I'd be fine saying if you want to cut hadassim from your Shabbos or your Abdullah, to cut hadassim from your tree. And you have to do it the way that you, I guess hadassim are the same way to trim it, from the bottom of the branch.
From your tree, you wouldn't have to cut all the way. You could just cut a little bit from the top. You wouldn't have to cut the whole thing. But any cutting would stimulate the growth of the tree.
So I don't know. Okay.
Do we have to
check that out?
Me too.
What about cutting branches from above the sukkah? Like you have a tree that's going to cause problems for the kashrus of your sukkah.
Well, then you should cut it with a shingle.
Yeah, any cutting with a shingle. Again, we mentioned this, I'll just mention it again, that if the branches pose some kind of a sakana, so you can cut them, if that's electrical wires, if it's in a road, or anything like that. And again, put that ointment on, seal that up.
Is there any, are you finding any relevance to next year being an Iber year? Either because now it's relatively early, or because there's a 13-month Shemitah? You see any difference? In your
work,
is there any difference?
No, not so much. We'll go by the season. So the seasons will be a bit longer, but it's not like the amount of enough community that it's now 13 months.
I'm just wondering, as far as Shina, is there anything that is fixed in the type of Shina, or is it more like anything that you do that's different from how you would do it?
Like what constitutes
so
a Shina?
So,
you know, if I've seen that if you change hands to do it, it would be like a real shinui and a real difficult way to do it, right? But that would be a shinui. Also, that you could bend branches. I just saw it written also once. Maybe there I've seen more on it that if you pull the branch down and then cut it, as opposed to, you know, some way different to how you normally do it. So that's that. Before the Rav goes, one quick one which is interesting for me in terms of flowers on fruit trees. So you'd normally thin out your trees because they get too heavy. If you see a peach or an tree, there are a lot of flowers, and you actually want to thin it out, because if you don't thin it out, the flowers will become fruit, and the fruit will get too heavy, and the branch will break. So you must be makpid to thin out the flowers before they become fruit. Because if it becomes fruit, you then have the problem of kedushat shvit, which if you thinned out the fruit, you'd have a problem with.
Right. Of hefsa, of being mafsid, payros with kedushat shvit.
Uh-huh. Okay. Right. So, please, that's in terms of your fruit flowers. Said we spoke about the lawn and the watering, so again the plants shouldn't suffer. One thing about the lawn is to spray the edges. So instead of cutting, you should spray your edges. That will take care of the lawn.
Spray the edges.
Spray the edges. As opposed to, like during the year, you'd cut it with a weed whacker. Better and Schmitter to spray it. The ganov.
An Schmitter.
Because otherwise it will go into the flower beds and cause problems there.
Just go back to that last one. You said any time you trim it?
Any time. Yes. However, if it's at the stage you want it to be, you're trimming it not because you want it to grow more. You're trimming it, it's already at that height, you're happy with your hadassim there, so you could cut. In terms of the smell, you should, you know, something with the smell, check with the rub to be sure.
Yeah. It will
cause growth. It will grow in the direction that I want it to grow. What do I mean?
You want it to go to a high branches. You
want to get hollow in the middle when pruning in general, keep the inside of the tree hollow. Any branch that's growing into the tree, cut out. Any branch that's crisscrossing another branch, cut out. And any branch that's dry and broken, cut out. And first, this is a good tip, first cut out the dry ones, the broken ones, the crisp. Don't cut your healthy looking ones first, because afterwards you'll see there's nothing left when you've finally taken out those that you had to take out. So
you pull them off or break them off, or do you need to
cut? You must cut cleanly and put ointment on it if it's thicker than a pencil. That's that. Okay, one more point over here is roses, and we touched on it. Again, they shouldn't suffer from a lack of water. You're not allowed to fertilize your roses on Shemitah. It causes growth. If there's something that's sick in the rose, cut that away. We mentioned the same for any tree. And cutting roses stimulates the growth. But if you're not cutting for the growth of the, you're not to stimulate, but you're cutting for everything around that, then the seder, you could cut your roses. And Zehu. Happy gardening, gentlemen.
There's
the
weed,
that's
four stages of the weed.
Right. Yes. Okay, so first, let me go to my notes so we don't make a mistake. So first we said with preventative, and you'd spray with things that would prevent weeds from coming. That's option one. It could be also. If you've got like a, just be careful when you spray inside a bed. Spray on the ground, don't spray on the plants. But that would certainly be your first course of action.
During Shemitah.
Okay. Then you'd spray on the plants themselves. That's number two, to kill them. Be that in the flower bed or in the lawn, whatever you'd be choosing to spray. Option three would be to cut it with a weed whacker. And option four would be to pull out with a tool, but like the Rav said, don't be in the ground, be above the ground. And you could even pull it out by hand completely by the root if it caused a problem. Yeah? If it was overpowering another plant, and that plant would ultimately die.
How is the second spraying different than the first spraying?
The first spraying prevents weeds from coming. That's the one that puts a thin film on the ground. And the second spray, actually, so the way it works is it touches the plant, and then the plant dies through that. Ariel?
What would be a good product if you have a patio of bricks, you know, and the weeds go between the bricks? Would be a good product?
I saw a good tip would be, you could use any of those weeding things, but I've seen to pour boiling water on the plants between the bricks, because often they break when you pull them out, and then they come again. But I've seen, I don't know if it really works, but try
boiling water.
Boiling water.
Shemitah,
probably. On Shemitah, one would need to ask a Shaila, because nothing's really going to suffer unless it causes a problem.
You could look,
What's the reason you're just killing the weeds?
Purely
aesthetic.
Right.
So aesthetic isn't a good enough. Aesthetic isn't a good enough reason.
Because it's helping the other plants that are around them.
Right.
Right. If you're weeding and you're not helping any plants, but there are no other plants.
I understand what you're saying.
But if you're putting it out, it's Croatia.
I don't know.
Still have to sell it, because I think the road is talking about Michael. I don't know. Do animals eat those weeds?
You're not helping the weeds. You don't want to help
the weeds. You're still preparing the ground between the bricks for planting.
You don't plant between the bricks.
You can. If something grew, you can only just plant.
Look, there's something else. If you had a weed that was a tayundavik, I think you could take it out, because that weed gets strong. It doesn't go away. It will move the bricks. It will bring the ants will start to grow there. It will cause you all sorts of problems from that weed. So. But again, you should ask a Shaila.
What can you do with the vegetable growing? Do you have a tomato that's growing or something? Can you just water it
manually? Water it like it needs to be watered. I mean, it's already growing?
Yeah, it's growing now. It'll be growing through the end of the summer.
So where's the problem?
You have to just water it, you can't go to the open.
Just carry on like normal. So why would there be any difference to it? Like, I don't see where the problem is.
a difference in weeding if it's a small plant.
Are you talking about a tomato plant that's growing now? It'll grow. I don't see really the problem with it. That's done.
All these restrictions you mentioned, watering, does that only apply to a plant that grows in the ground? If you have a plant that grows in a pot?
Oh, so a pot.
Is there a major difference?
Okay, so pots. Depends. We have to define a pot. So there are three characteristics that a pot must have to be defined, considered as a pot. Firstly, it must be less than 40 se'ah, 330 liters. So if your pot is bigger than that, then it's not a pot anymore. It just became a garden. If your pot must be inside the house. Inside the house, a pergola is not considered the house. The house is 10 tefachim, and a mepeset. If your mepeset has got like a marquee, it's 10 tefachim, and a halachic wall, and a roof that's not a pergola roof, but a rainproof roof, then that's considered your house. But anything that's not that, not your house. And third thing with the pot is a atztanak roof, right? It has to have a hole. Most of our pots have a hole. But if it's on plastic or PVC, something that it can't, then it's considered not nakuv. Even though it's got holes, but you've sealed it off on plastic, then it's not nakuv.
So
all three must apply.
It should be not
nakuv.
So outdoor plants are basically in the garden.
All outdoor plants in the garden. All three of those that we just mentioned, that it's nakuv inside the house and the volume, must apply in order for it to be considered a house plant. And you can take a house plant from a house to a house, but you should be careful to cover it when you do so. That's a nafkamina for the gardener who brings it from a nursery into your house. We hope to do lots of that, right? So, that's what we can do.
I don't know if we covered this. What about mowing your lawn?
Oh, so you must mow your lawn. Because if you don't, your lawn will get sick, right? And that's something that you want to prevent. By the way, if you let your lawn grow long, firstly you lose a lot of water, just because the surface area is greater and it needs more water to stay green. So keep your lawn always at the height. 3-4 centimeters for Altaro, 4-5 centimeters for Kukuya. Those are primarily the lawns we have here. A long lawn is a problem. Whenever you're cutting, always never take more than a third off at a time, because that's too much, and you never want to get to that stage where it was green and now it's white. That would be like never going in the sun and going to the beach, taking off your shirt and running around the whole day on the beach, right? That's what your lawn feels like when that happens, and straight away the damage is done. The lawn burns up and it takes a long time to recover. So you want to keep cutting your lawn regularly like you did before Shemitah. What Rav Ariel said is just cut one level higher than you always did. That's like your shinui for cutting lawn.
What if it was no previous level?
Well, there's still time.
Sorry?
There's still time. Choose a level. So start now, find a level. Then you only need more than one application.
So I think we're going to
be around.
I'm not here for much.
I've got kids in my garden all the time. Is that what's going to be?